today's news.
Hello again, and welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. We're going green this week. Well, actually, we're going red. Red, green. It's the chough we're talking about. A green issue, and a bird well known for the bright red legs. And been back in the news recently, sadly, numbers have been dwindling. You still hear them around the island, a wonderful sound and sight to see or hear, as the case may be, but it seems their numbers have been dwindling, despite having had a stronghold, it would appear, on the island for some time. I thought I'd better rummage back through the papers to see. They feature more often than you might think over the years. And equally, it would seem that their fortunes have been precarious, going way back into the annals of time. Perhaps with our first quote, we can see why, although we are going back quite a bit. The Manx Sun, Friday, May the 18th, 1838. Wanted, a dozen or two of the eggs of the chough, or red-legged crow, believed to be called the keg here, and frequenting the rocks of the Calf, Port Iron, etc. Any person bringing the same to this office will be handsomely rewarded. Douglas, the 17th of May, 1838. Doesn't actually seem to say which office to bring them to. Probably just as well. And don't go and bring chough eggs to anyone. Leave them where they are before anyone says anything. That wouldn't have helped their cause, would it? However, if we go to the Alamann Examiner, Saturday, May the 17th, 1902, quite a long time later, it has to be said, Wild Birds Protection Act, 1888, is headed, £2 reward. As there is reason to believe that the provisions of this Act are from year to year disregarded in the case of the chough, the Isle of Man Natural History and Antiquarian Society will pay the above-named sum of £2 for information leading to the conviction of any person taking, killing, or destroying a chough, keg, with a double A, keg, with an E, or red-legged crow, alternate names, or the nest, eggs, or young of the same. And it's signed by that great father of the Manx Museum, PMC Kermode, Honorary Secretary. I'm reminded that all wild birds are protected from the 1st of February to the 1st of September under the penalty in respect of any wild bird which is included in the schedule thereto of £1, and the case of any other wild bird of 5 shillings. So this was the Wild Birds Protection Act, which came in 1888, quite a few years after that chough advert we heard in 1838. The Examiner, Saturday, May the 24th, 1902. For some years, there's been on the statute book of the Isle of Man, we read, an act providing for the protection of wild birds. Well, since 1888, it would seem. But it is to be feared that this legislation has been somewhat in the nature of a dead letter. It is everybody's duty to enforce the act, and we all know that everybody's duty is nobody's duty. But the Isle of Man Natural History and Antiquarian Society have awakened to the fact that at least one bird feral to the Isle of Man is in danger, so far as the island is concerned, of being overtaken with the fate of the dodo, the chough or red-legged crow, and that is Pyrrhocorax graculus, if I pronounced that correctly, is one of the most beautiful and interesting of the Corvidae. Formerly, it was met with in fair numbers in the Isle of Man, but in these days becoming very rare. Its habitat on the seaboard and its nests on the precipitous cliffs, probably from the fact that the bird was at one time abundant in the southwest of England, it is very often called the Cornish chough, but in Cornwall the chough is gradually disappearing. This too is the case in regard to Wales, the west and north coasts of Ireland, and the Hebrides. Though the chough resembles his congener, the rook, in being gregarious, he, unlike the rook, is exceedingly shy of man. Further evidence of the chough's exclusiveness is found in the fact that he cannot abide the jackdaw, and it is a significant fact that while jackdaws have of late years multiplied in the island, the chough has been a vanquishing quantity. The rarity of the chough, and of its eggs too, has hastened the destruction of the species. The man with the gun would as like bag a chough as any other winged creature, and unquestionably the beastly craze for cases of stuffed birds has supplemented the efforts of wanton gunners. The egg collector too has done his best, and it is not a little best, to reduce the numbers of the chough, and all these circumstances have combined to make the keg, to give the chuff, or is that keg, his Manx appellation, a scarce bird in Mona. So that's in 1902, 123 years ago, there were concerns about the numbers of chuff. So it's good to see they survived that long, or this long, really. But we can't be complacent, of course. The Alaman Examiner, Friday, May the 20th, 1938. Birds of the Manx Cliffs by Kay Williamson, Assistant Secretary of the Manx Museum. Few coastal areas can be more attractive to bird life than the southern cliffs of the Isle of Man. Here the raven and the peregrine have been bad neighbours for centuries, and that most delightful and engaging bird, the chuff, has held his ground, whilst many of his kind in the adjacent countries have been harried near to extermination. The herring gull and the jackdaw, commonest of the Manx birds, breed in numbers that would defy the most searching senses, and the kittiwake, guillemot, puffin, shag, razorbill and rock pipit have their appointed places. The greyback or hoodie is perhaps too abundant for the common wheel, and in a few years' time one feels the greater blackback, the Juan Moor, as they call them, will inspire an echo of the same sentiment. So 1938, the claim is the chuff wasn't doing too badly in the scale of things. The following year, the Examiner, Friday, July the 7th, 1939, the Manx countryside, the chuff, an interesting species in danger. We in the Isle of Man are fortunate in having among our wild birds a most interesting and graceful species which in recent years has declined in numbers and is still growing rapidly scarcer in other parts of the British Isles. It is primarily a bird of the cliffs and is known as the red-legged crow or chuff. The Isle of Man is one of the few places in the United Kingdom where it is no longer in immediate danger of extinction. At the beginning of June, a friend and I visited three nests of this species, which we knew to contain young birds on different parts of the coast. At the first nest, we found the three nestlings lying dead beneath a pile of stones, which some sadistic person or persons unable to reach the nest had thrown up from the beach below. Just goes to prove that they've been idiots forever, I think. At the second nest, there was a little consolation. The two youngsters were fully feathered and almost ready to leave their home. But at the third, there was again tragedy. Somebody had been there before us and had taken away the young. There was a certain reasonableness about the last act which was entirely absent from the first, but it was nevertheless an evil thing to do. Chuffs, it appears, are in high demand both here and across the water as cage birds. Good prices are paid for them, and apparently they are lucky with the judges at the shows. They should be banned then, shouldn't they? The chuff is facing a twofold danger in that both its eggs and its young are being misused by certain people as a commercial proposition. Nominally, it is a protected bird. I pass no further comment, save that I hope the police or the Preservation Society will take the matter up. Members of the field club are already doing what they can. The chuff's glossy black plumage, coral red legs and curved red bill may fail to advertise him when he is overhead and against the sky, but his distinctive call note will never fail once one has learned to distinguish it from that of the jackdaw, to which it has a superficial resemblance. It is a keener, shriller note, an emphatic chua, becoming, when the bird is excited, a rapid succession of abrupt kyas. That's the one I think I often hear. His flight, too, is equally distinctive and very picturesque. The birds, in normal flight, progress by long bounds, alternately flapping and gliding so that they seem to make a switchback of the wind. That's a good phrase, isn't it? The chuff is up to all manner of tricks in his flight, we read. I've seen a bird ride into the wind and turn completely over for a split second onto his back. I've seen them soar until mere specks in the sky and also shoot down from a height with closed wings in a manner reminiscent of a peregrine falcon in that most thrilling of flying displays, the grand stoop. Flocks of chuffs are most difficult to count by reason of their airplay, for they swirl about rising and falling in the sky like pieces of charred paper flung about by the will of the wind. Fascinating article that goes on for quite a bit. In the Journal of the Manx Museum, Wednesday, December the 1st, 1943, The Red-Legged King of Crows by W.S. Cowan and B.R.S. McGaw. The famous King of Crows, known by the name of the Cornish Chuff. And that's taken from Defoe's Tour of Great Britain. In England, we read, the chuff is now a vanishing species and only a few pairs survive in Cornwall, where it was once so common it took its name from the locality. On the rocky parts of the Manx coast, however, almost any day of the year, one can hear the sharp chaw chaw, and looking up, see a blackbird about the size and shape of a rock soaring gracefully in the upward currents of air. At close range, the watcher is rewarded with a glimpse of the long, curved red beak, the red legs and glossy black plumage of the chough, with the raven, the most distinctive bird of the Manx coast. It is interesting that local people, amongst them the late Captain R.B. Quirk of Raby, pronounced the name as chow. A contributor to British Birds says a Cornishman he knew always pronounced the word to rhyme with plough. The late Reverend F.C.R. Jourdain, in an editorial note to the same letter, pointed out that while the poet Chaucer wrote chuff, or chow, with a G-H, C-H-O-W-G-H, Caxton, the first English printer, spelt it chow, C-H-O-W-E. Moreover, the jackdaw is still known in Devon either as chow or chuff, with a double F-E, so that both early forms have apparently come down to this day. When Henry VIII's Parliament solemnly denounced the rooks, crows and chuffs that do yearly devour and consume a wonderful and marvellous great quantity of corn and grain, they were not thinking of our red-legged crow. Until recently, the Saxon word chuff applied to all the smaller chattering species of the crow family, and especially to the jackdaw. An Elizabethan writer took care to make the distinction plain. I mean not the common daw, but one peculiar to Cornwall, termed a Cornish chuff. His bill is sharp, long and red, his legs of the same colour. Well, we definitely know what he was talking about there, don't we? All seems strange, doesn't it? The same bird back in Elizabethan times. I don't know why, but it does. In 1958 in the Isle of Man Times, December the 12th, a short, interesting piece under the title Nature Notes by someone calling himself Bob Brewer. There might be a clue in there. And it's difficult. It seems to be part editorial, part advert, with the chuff involved. It goes thus. The chuffs really are most confusing. Having been absent from Bena Carica since spring, nesting in almost inaccessible seclusion on the west wall of Cronknieri Lay, feeding goodness knows where, they are now back 13 strong and will probably feed all winter between Strand Hall and Kentraw, obligingly close to the Rolls-Royce birdwatcher. Does his change of feeding ground bring with it a change of diet, change of habit, change of outlook towards mankind? One thing is certain, if you drink Castletown ale, you will never want to change. Its goodness lasts the whole year through. Make of that what you will. Is it an advert? Is it serious? Is it a joke piece? Bob Brewer might suggest the latter. Although the chuff copy would appear to be genuine and detailed. Not often do you associate chuffs with beer. And finally, right up to date, or as close as we get anyway, looking back at these papers, the 1960s, the Journal of the Manx Museum again, January the 1st, 1964, The Chuff by R.C. Bracegirdle. In recent years, it has become what one can only describe as fashionable for a country to choose for itself a national bird, in addition to its more traditional emblems. England's selection of the robin a few years ago has created a certain amount of interest in the Isle of Man, and has led some of the local ornithologists to the conclusion that there should be a Manx national bird. Some have suggested the peregrine, some one of the many seabirds so typical of our coast, but above all, the chuff has been the most popular suggestion. It appears to be an excellent choice, as the Isle of Man is one of the last real strongholds of the bird in the British Isles, and the only place where one can see it in considerable numbers from day to day without much difficulty. And happily that's still the case today, but where we started, of course, the numbers would appear to be dwindling again. However, the article goes on, there is one serious drawback. The chuff is already the emblem of the English county of Cornwall, and has been for many years. In fact, the chuff has been associated with Cornwall for centuries, being represented in the heraldry of many old Cornish families, and legend has it that the spirit of King Arthur lived on in the form of a chuff. In Cornwall, the bird is known as the Cornish chuff, to distinguish it from the common jackdaw, which is often called just the chuff. For some obscure reason, the bird is often referred to as the Cornish chuff in the Isle of Man. The chuff is a member of the Corvidae, the crow family, although its slender form, graceful movement and delightful manners do not immediately suggest a close relationship with a rook or a jackdaw. The plumage is entirely a glossy blue-black, the slender legs are a brilliant red, and the long, delicately downward beak is also vivid red. The cry of the chough is a high-pitched "kyaw," once heard, not easily to forget, and frequently enables the observer to recognise, at some distance, another call which is the rather mocking "chough." It's said to be how it derives its name. I'm not going to disagree with that. It does rather sound like it's shouting out its name as it wheels and careers through the air. We're very lucky we can still see choughs on a daily basis here on the Isle of Man. But we can never be complacent, of course. The numbers would appear to be dwindling again. They would appear to have been dwindling up and down a bit over the last 150 years, but we should perhaps now know better than we did 150 years ago. So fingers crossed, long may it be that the chough will reign in the airs over the cliffs of the island. Whichever way you look at it, it's old news and hopefully will be news for a long time on the island, the lovely chough. Until next week, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.